The OC podcast is proudly brought to you by beer52.com. And as a listener to the show, we would like to reward you with a free case of craft beer. All you need to do is pay the $2.95 delivery. Head on over to beer52.com/MFC and order your free case today. Beer52 is a 5-star rating in Trustpilot, so it's easy to see that their members love their service. So head on over now to beer52.com/MFC and order your case.
Beer. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. It is McHugh. Oh, what a goal! A cup classic from Carl McHugh, who might just have sent Motherwell into the semis.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast tonight. And drastically different circumstances from last week. We look back in two victories and in the space of a week for Motherwell. We'll discuss David Turnbull and possibility and our hopes for him to sign a new contract. We'll preview next weekend's game against Livingston and we'll see what else takes a fancy over the next three quarters of an hour or so. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers.
How are you doing?
Yeah, doing well. Much better than I was last week, it must be said, and it has been a fantastic week, hasn't it, Jay? We bounced back with an impressive performance and an even more impressive victory over Hibs, and then took that form into Dens Park yesterday and scrapped it out for a 1-0 victory there. We've got to be very, very happy with how the week's progressed since the bitter disappointment of going out of the Scottish Cup to Ross County.
Yeah, that's it. Obviously, all the chat after the Ross County game was purely that the season was over. You know, that was it. There was nothing to play for. No point in looking up the table, but probably safe from relegation and out of the cup. So I think there was, you know, a lot of negativity, a lot of, you know, apathy surrounding the team after that. And I think the only way you could possibly eradicate that and get people positive again was to do what we've done, and not just in terms of getting 6 points from the last two games, but the manner in which we've done it. We have seen a drastically different Motherwell side. That's not to say that, you know, we've been Barcelona in those two games. We've, you know, occasionally had to play a long ball. You know, at times it's not been pretty on the eye. But by and large, we've got the ball down. We've passed it. We've looked to utilise guys like, you know, Jake Hasty on the wing. David Turnbull has been fantastic in both games. And I just think it just shows you just how the style of play affects not just the results, but the mood of the supporters. Because even leaving the game after Hibs, you know, having a conversation with a couple of Motherwell fans on the way out, and the subject of discussion was that even if Hibs had managed to, you know, sneak an equaliser or even, you know, two late goals to win that game on Wednesday night, I think Motherwell fans would still have left relatively content because they'd seen, you know, a fast-paced attacking, enjoyable and entertaining Motherwell performance. And that's what we really, you know, that's what we want to see. We don't expect trophies. We don't expect wins. You know, if that's your game, you know, you can be a glory hunter and go support Celtic. You know, at the end of the day, you want to go along, be entertained, feel that you've got a connection with some of the players in the park, and just come away, you know, reasonably happy with what you've seen. And I think we've seen that in the last two games. And obviously the, you know, winning both games is just the icing on the cake.
Buster, we talked a lot about the personnel within the squad and certain players underperforming. There was a lot of changes to that team that went up against Hibs. And then the manager stuck with the same starting 11 for yesterday's victory over Dundee. And what we had there was guys like Jake Hasty, David Turnbull, Alan Campbell, young, enthusiastic, hungry players, and producing results and producing a style of football that we've not been used to either. The manager talked about the difficulties he thought he was going to have in turning around their style of football, and almost made it feel like it was a burden to him to actually move away from the style of football we had been playing previously. But what he's done is he's made some brave decisions. On Wednesday night, he takes out Carl McHugh, his previous captain. He takes out his captain and Peter Hartley. He throws in some of the younger guys like Jake Hasty, who made his first start. And he was rewarded suitably with Hasty putting in a great performance. He assisted for David Turnbull's goal. Alan Campbell, I thought, was excellent. Liam Grimshaw, who I said last week I felt could have considered himself very unlucky to drop out the team in the first place, came back in and he was absolutely superb at right back. So, brave decisions from Stephen Robinson, and I think he deserves a lot of praise for that, because we did discuss his future and whether he was the right man to take us forward. He put his hands up and said, I got my selection against Ross County wrong. He's made these drastic changes to the team, and they've worked. They've brought 6 points out of six.
I think you're right, yeah. As you says, when he was... His interview after the cup game, he did make it seem like it was going to be a bit of a burden that he would have to play a different style of football rather than the, you know, the sort of kick and run hoof ball we'd seen. But in that interview, he did also say, "We have to do it this way. I'm going to stick to it." You know, that's what he's done. As you say, the changes he made were called for, and you know this. When you're at the game and you watch Campbell, Turnbull, Hastie, you know, it's the three players who just you can tell they just love to be out there playing football. It's magic that they're all young boys that came through at Motherwell as well. But that's what you want to see, people who are out there want to play football. David Turnbull, you know, as you say, he's absolutely brilliant. Fantastic technique. Jake Hastie, in the short appearances that I've seen him, not afraid to go and run at somebody. And that's you know, when the couple last week, whenever it was, I did a fair bit of moaning. And, you know, I think my goal for the Hibs game was just to sort of have a couple of shots at goal and be a bit more entertained. You know, maybe Mother will be a bit more expressive than they'd been, rather than, you know, the dry, drab sort of grind it out we were trying to do. So, you know, to come and see these two results over the last week, fantastic. And as you say, credit to Stevie Robinson. He's you know, he said he's going to have to do this, do that, do this, and you know, it's working. So I know we're going back before the cup game as well, but we're now won three league games in the trot. I think, without actually checking, me and Jay were talking on the way home for Dundee. I think the last time we would have done that would probably have been before the League Cup final against Celtic. So, you know, it's great that we've got, barring the cup game, it's great we've got a wee bit of momentum there in the league.
Jay, it's a difficult one, because we look at the league table and the way that the weekend results went. I would say, in terms of a relegation dogfight, they went absolutely ideally for us this weekend. Obviously, we beat Dundee. St Mirren lost today to Hibs, and Celtic were well beaten. Hamilton were well beaten at Celtic. I'm having a nightmare here. But that puts a lot of points between ourselves and the foot of the table. The teams above us, Livingston losing at home to Rangers today. We move a bit closer to them, but you actually saw the gap going down to 2 points between ourselves and Hibs, and maybe believed that we could actually finish a bit higher up, albeit possibly still in the bottom six. But we're making a push up the table and we're beginning to look up. Results haven't went our way in terms of that happening, but it's a nice feeling to kind of feel we're comfortable from relegation. We're starting to string a few results together. The performances have been improved. I wouldn't say yesterday was a drastically improved performance from things I've seen this season, but I like the spirit of the team and I like the drive and the togetherness. Even the guys that are perhaps off form, I thought, really rolled up their sleeves and get stuck in. So it's hard to be overexcited, because there's not a great deal as likely to change between now and the end of the season. But just having that wee bit of enthusiasm to go and watch the team, that's a pleasant thing to have, because we've been absolutely scunnered.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely spot on. You know, I think that was the kind of the main point, I think, that was made last week when we were discussing the idea, as Buster says, you know, the idea that perhaps Robinson sees having to make changes to the style as a bit of a burden. And the point that, you know, I've made over the last couple of weeks is that we're probably going to finish ninth. you know, who knows what might happen between now and the end of the season in terms of what's above us. Anything above ninth would be a fantastic achievement, would be a great bonus. But I think we were always destined to be around ninth. And so this second half of the season, it was down to how we went about that, how we, you know, tried to play football. Would we continue to just lump the ball aimlessly with absolutely no real, you know, ambition or desire to be entertaining or to really try anything of any note? Or would we try and shake things up a bit and try and utilise wide men, try and, you know, give a couple of more youngsters their chance, get the ball down? And I think that's what we're starting to do. You're right, of course, in terms of the two games. I think the performance against Hibs was a fair bit better than the performance at Dens yesterday. I think the main reason for that is that Hibs perhaps, Hibs for a start, were very poor in the night. We have to accept that. But I also think, you know, you were playing against a team there that had the likes of Ryan Gold. You know, Hibs like to try and play football. And on the night, we were just better at them, at it. So you found Hasty and Uribe having a lot of time in the ball, a lot of, getting the chance to run at people. Whereas I think yesterday, Dundee were, you know, ironically, a little bit more like we have been up to this point. You know, they were organised, they were hard to break down. I thought Curtis Main was bullied quite a lot throughout the game. But the Dundee defence, we struggled to get Hasty and Uribe onto the ball, struggled in the first half to really get Turnbull onto the ball. And for me, the big negative, obviously don't want to look at negatives too much because we won, but, you know, the defence looked rather in disarray at times yesterday. And in fact, a lot of, you know, I know Dundee fans will be disappointed they didn't take anything from the game, as they did have far more chances than we did. But those chances tended to come from our defence either standing off or being all over the place rather than Dundee cutting us open. So, you know, I think the two performances are very different. But again, yesterday, it was obvious we were still trying to, at times, get the ball down. You know, Hasty had a couple of, you know, runs to the byline. I thought Goran, in particular, was my man of the match. I thought he was fantastic in the middle of the park. And you still got the sense that we wanted to try and play a bit of football. Yes, the long ball comes in here or there. It has to. We're not good enough to, you know, have situations where we just pass the ball out for the back time and time again. There will be times that we have to go long. But I think you get the feeling now that it's a little bit more measured, a little bit more, you know, with a bit more creativity, if you like, you know, an attempt to perhaps get it in behind to someone or that kind of thing, rather than just launching it wherever we're facing. So even although it was a below par performance yesterday, if you like, we still ground out the result. And that's what you want to see, because we've had so much of this season, we've been told how the confidence is low. So to actually be able to go and still ground out a 1-0 when we were, you know, on the back foot for long spells yesterday, I think kind of sums up that perhaps we've kind of managed to get, you know, the confidence and the mentality sorted out a little bit now, and we can start to go into games with a lot more confidence starting by Saturday. Because, you know, the game against Livingston and the immediate aftermath of the Ross County game, I think we would have seen that as a very difficult game and a game that we would be lucky to take something from. But after the last two games, we can now go into that game full of confidence, and it now becomes a very winnable tie.
And Buster, that's absolutely it, isn't it? You obviously want to be progressing further up the league and set your aspirations in more than the ninth place, particularly when you're beginning to string together a run of results. But I think there was a wee bit of the grit and determination involved in yesterday's win that was very satisfying as well, because it would be easy for some of these players to let their heads drop and basically bring us into a relegation battle. But what they did yesterday is they won a crucial game. They put significant distance between ourselves and Dundee and allowed us the luxury of being able to, for the first time this season, set our sights in something more than a relegation battle. So full credit to the players. I know it wasn't a vintage performance, and I actually look back at all these victories over Dundee in the eight or nine games that we went without a defeat. I think we've won eight of them. I think we've only actually played well in about one or two of them. But to continuously get results at such a difficult place is certainly a massive positive.
I think you're right, yeah. As you said, yesterday wasn't, and it's never going to be sort of Barcelona-esque, you know. But I think, as Jay mentioned, Alex Gorin was, I thought Alex Gorin was absolutely brilliant yesterday. Any time the ball was dropping to him, you know, whether it was coming for 30 feet in the air or a 5-yard pass, he seemed to just know what his next move was. You know, it was a case of, there's a guy there, he's got 3-yard space, give him it. And again, he would move and take it back if he needed. You know, he is the type of player that I think we all hoped Biggie would be, by the looks of it. And again, this is obviously going on his brief appearances so far, because before the last two games, I don't think I would have been able to tell you what type of player Alex Gorin really was. But he's got a wee bit of grit about him. He put in a good few tackles. And as I say, on the ball, he's absolutely fantastic. And that's the kind of player that makes a bit of difference between the grinding 1-0 wins, being absolutely shite, no one enjoying yourself, to, you know, it wasn't a great game, but there was a point where we played 4 or 5 great passes and it all comes for you, maybe Alex Gorin knocking the ball 5 yards, somebody else having to pick it up and it coming back into Gorin again. He seems to want the ball, and that's exactly what you want for your guy in central midfield. I enjoyed the game yesterday, I think it was basically because him. As I say, it wasn't a great performance on a whole, but there was many a time where, you know, he just took control of the ball, even if he didn't know where his next pass was going when he got the ball. As I said, he casually, you know, probably not as casually as I'm making it sound, but he probably knew exactly what he was doing, but it looked as if he just took a couple of paces, took a deep breath, relaxed and looked up, and that's what we're missing maybe in that midfield role. And again, I'm a fan of Carroll McHugh. You know, he wins that ball. Me and you were talking on Twitter sparring, and we put up the stats for somebody else's Twitter account of exactly how much he wins the ball in that role. But he's not got the same composure as Gorin there. So that's the sort of player we're screaming out for in there. And you know, when you've got him, somebody like him getting the ball to guys like Turnbull, Hasty, you know, that's when it goes from Alex Gorin giving it to these guys, or it goes back to, you know, Hartley or Charles Dunn, and then it gets launched into the channel for Curtis Meany to chase.
Yeah, it does look like a real prospect, and he's got a magnificent accent as well. I don't absolutely know what it's like. Like Glaswegian with kind of a Spanish twang. It's absolutely superb. But then you look at the depth within the squad as well. We've already mentioned Peter Hartley and Carroll McHugh sitting the last two games out. But you've also got the likes of Ross McCormack, who, albeit has really failed to impress in his two cameo appearances, if you will, in the games against Ross County and the game against Hibs. Danny Johnson, who has been our main source of goals over the course of the season, he's also one that you can call on from the bench. So, while we've not made radical changes during this window, and there still is time to make more changes in terms of personnel, we're looking in good shape in terms of the depth within the squad as well, aren't we?
Yeah, as you say, you know, the bench might have been the strongest it's been for a while there. And again, you know, the players that we've got on the bench obviously have their faults, but they're perfectly capable players at our level. So, to, you know, centre half, for example, you know, you could have had Peter Hartley come in, as you say. Callum McHugh can also play in there. Some people would say he's better in there than he is in his midfield role. But Danny Johnson, as you say, can bag a goal or two. And to be fair to Danny Johnson, Curtis Main, you know, Connor Salmon, whoever's up front, Curtis Main's struggling for goals just now, but he's putting in the work there. I don't think that's something Danny Johnson could do. Connor Salmon, you know, wasn't even in the squad yesterday, but as you say, it was a very strong bench to have, and if that 11 starts, you know, next week, I don't think anybody on the bench can have any complaints.
And Jay, that strength and depth makes the next conversation all a bit more confusing, I suppose, the link with Jordan Rossiter and a loan deal until the end of the season from Rangers. This is something I quite quickly voiced my opinion against, just for a number of reasons, really. I don't like the idea of bringing in someone else's player in the same league as us and trying to develop them. Or even, I think Rangers now, given Rossiter's injury record, regard them as too much of a risk for them. So they would prefer him going out somewhere else and seeing whether he's able to hack it at this level. We've got a depth of central midfielders, as we've already alluded to in that conversation there. The likes of Alex Godín-Rodríguez is beginning to really, really show the promise that Michael Stewart always believed that he had. So there's a multitude of reasons why I believe Jordan Rossiter shouldn't be coming to Fir Park. It's nothing to do with an anti-Rangers agenda, although I don't deny I certainly have one. We should be looking to our own, and given the likes of Alan Campbell, quite often been benched this season. Callum McHugh currently benched just now. Alex Rodríguez Godín, again, a player that's had sporadic first team appearances. It's not a position we're light in. So let's not take the risk of an injury prone player from another club in the Scottish Premiership. Focus on our own. We've already mentioned as well that we don't have a great deal of threat in terms of relegation. We're unlikely to suddenly surge into the top six. So it just seems a completely pointless exercise.
Yeah, I'd find it hard to argue with any of that. Obviously, I don't know where the rumours have originated from, whether there's any truth to it, or whether it is, you know, a name that someone's plucked out of the air and put on social media or on forums. But it's certainly not a move that would excite me in the slightest. You know, I know that he was highly rated when he was a youngster at Liverpool, but he, you know, like many youngsters who have potential when they're 16, 17, you know, he hasn't realised that he can't get in to a Rangers team, which, you know, for the length of time that he's been at Rangers now, Rangers have been very mediocre at times during that, and yet he's struggled to get into the team. He's been injured, and I think you're completely correct. Had we found ourselves at the moment in a relegation battle, or, you know, we were challenging for a European place or the top six, then you could perhaps argue that there would be a genuine reason to improve the lineup, if you like, and to do so by perhaps bringing in a short-term loan or a loan into the end of the season, regardless of where he's from, to help you achieve those objectives. But I think, as you say, we're relatively comfortable now, particularly after the last two games. Relegation is, you know, I know it's not mathematically impossible, but it's almost certainly not going to happen. I think the top six is going to prove you know, out of our reach. So I would like to see us utilising, you know, I mean, let's be honest, every time we argue or any time there's a debate about why youth development in particular suffers in Scotland, a lot is made about the threat of relegation and that kind of thing. The idea that you would need a bigger league in order to do so, because you would need to have teams in the middle of the division who can afford to bring through young players, and because, you know, there's less emphasis on losing games and going down. And I think that's kind of where we find ourselves now. We are in that kind of bizarre little limbo in between where, you know, yeah, of course, if we continue this run, then we perhaps may start to crawl up the table. And then who knows, you might be counting down to the split with an outside chance of the top six. But I think we all have to be realistic and accept that's probably not going to happen. So we actually have a chance now, between now and the end of the season, to perhaps blood a couple of more youngsters, continue what we're doing with Jake Hastie, for example, hopefully going to be in the lineup till the summer. And I think there's a little less pressure on us now. I of course understand that Stephen Robinson perhaps won't see it that way, because he spent a good part of this season being criticised and being under pressure. So he may still look at, you know, the need to win games just to try and get the fans off his back. But I think I would just see it as such a pointless signing. And it's one of those where I think it's so pointless, I would be genuinely surprised if there's truth in it and it's not just a random internet rumour.
Yeah, it came from Scott Burns, who does have a good track record when it comes to Motherwell stories, it must be said. But yeah, there hasn't been anything really followed up on it. We've now got, what is it, 4 days until the the window closes. First, would you expect more movement? I kind of feel that, given the noises made by the club, Alan Burrows has said that there might be a wee bit of room for some wheeling and dealing. I guess it's dependent on getting a few guys out the door, which may be tricky. January is notoriously a difficult January's, I can't fucking say this line. January is notoriously a difficult month to do business in. I can't really see many more coming in at this stage. I think it's more likely to be outgoings.
I think, well, Connor Salmon not being in the squad yesterday, I don't know if that was, you know, through injury or anything like that at all, but I think if there's anything happening, we'd maybe be trying to, and again, this is based on absolutely nothing, but I'd like to think we're maybe trying to move on Salmon, whether that means we bring in another player up front, or, you know, we know we're kind of short at left back as well, but I'd hate to see us bringing a left back, Tate then switching across, and Grimmie suddenly not getting a game again. Especially, you know, Grimshaw's that guy who, as we've mentioned, has a couple of cracking games, disappears, comes back out of nowhere, has a couple of cracking games, disappears. So it's a hard one, as you say. But I think if anything does happen, we'll probably see Salmon leave and us try and bring in another forward. Because as I says, we seem to have this sort of, you know, 4-2-3-1 happening. Curtis Main is doing really well at the sort of hustle and bustle side of things, but even in the game yesterday, there was a couple of instances where he maybe snatched at shots. At Hibs, he maybe shot too early in one or two occasions. You know, it's sort of cliche to say he's in desperate need of a goal, because I think the last time we said that, he got a couple and, you know, things still didn't really turn around for him. But I think if anything did happen, we'd probably be looking at, you know, Salmon leaving and somebody in to replace him. Who that would be, I don't know. But on the Jordan Rossiter thing, not for me either, to be honest with you. Anytime I've seen him for Rangers, he's not impressed. And I've very rarely seen him, to be honest with you. He seems to have been constantly injured for he was about 16. You know, when I read about it on the forums during the week, I read about him and I look up about him and looked him up on a few websites and things like that. And even when he was playing, you know, Liverpool Unders, he seems to have been injured for 7-8 months at a time as well then. So, no, for me, I've not seen any suggest he's good enough. And like you say, I know he was highly thought of, but I don't even think he's shown anything at all to show he's good enough for us, to be honest with you. And I could be miles out there, but I wouldn't bother.
Jay, just on Curtis Main, and I kind of sighed in disbelief following the Hibs game, that there was certain posts about Curtis Main, about Connor Salmon, and first thing was to single out the fact that, oh, they were improved, but why not talk about the times that they were minging during the season. Connor Salmon had a poor miss, but he's wide, and it's a difficult one to take. He finds the side netting rather than the back of the net with it. The guys that are clearly lacking in confidence and badly need a goal, I think I'm right in saying Curtis Main hasn't scored, has he, since he missed the penalty at Kilmarnock? So that was September time. He's been in the team more often than not during that spell, but not been able to find the target. He does a lot of the kind of dirty work that perhaps your average fan, and that's not me claiming to see the great things he does, because I think he has been underperforming, but I think he does a good bit more than some people make out, put it that way. But with your strikers, you do need goals. There's no doubt about that. While I would argue there's certainly more to being a striker than scoring goals, you do need to be scoring goals as well.
Yeah, I mean, particularly if we're going to be going one up front in this new look formation, then we are going to need someone at the top of that who can score goals. As you say, I tend to agree about the dirty work comment. It's a difficult thing to kind of discuss, because it does sound as though you're trying to take the high ground and you know, look, I can see what a player does. But there is an element of truth in that. I think historically, if you were to sit and list the kind of the prime targets for the Boo Boys at Fir Park, they often are the guys who are tasked with doing the dirty work. You know, your Mark Fitzpatrick's, even more recently, you know, your Andy Rose, a lot of fans go in the back, Carol McHugh's getting it now. They're all the guys who, you know, a big part of their game is just to kick, you know, kick folk, break up play, and try and get the ball to somebody who can make something happen. So that's just kind of par for the course. And I think Curtis Main is that kind of forward. He puts himself about. You know, I said earlier that I felt he was bullied a bit by the Dundee defence. I actually felt the same for spells against Hibs. I think it's unfortunate that he's just not a lone striker, and I think that's the big issue we've got. I think of the three strikers we've got, Connor Salmon probably for me just edges it in terms of someone who could possibly play that lone striker role. Danny Johnson's well, you know, bottom of the pile. There is no way Danny Johnson's going to be able to do that role, because you need strength, you need to be able to hold the ball up, you need to be able to spread it wide. I think the big problem we've got is we just don't actually have a striker who can do it effectively. I kind of, after the last two games, maybe sympathise with Stephen Robinson's comments a little bit in the aftermath of the County game, when he said that, you know, we need to bring in a big target man. I think that was the wrong phrase to use. It's not a big target man we need. I would like to think that what Stephen Robinson actually means is we need someone who can play the lone striker role. That doesn't need to be a big target man. You look at someone like Kenny Miller, who effectively made a career out of being a great lone striker, particularly at international level. You know, it's about having strength, pace, having intelligence. And I don't think we have that from any of our strikers. So I wouldn't be surprised to see if we are, you know, particularly with Salmon missing yesterday. And I don't think it's been... I think it is common knowledge that we are perhaps keen to kind of get him back to Hearts. And I know that recently there'd been discussion in forums and social media linking him with, I think, Partick Thistle. So if Salmon was to go and that freed up the opportunity for us to get someone in, then hopefully it would be someone who could play that lone striker role, because I think that's particularly what we're missing now. I think we're starting to see a side really start to take shape. Grimshaw's done well on the right. It'd be great to have an out-and-out left-back, rather than having to put Richard Tate out there, but he does it well. You know, I'm really keen to see how the midfield trio of Campbell, Gorin and Turnbull progress now. Obviously, Aribi and Hasty, I think, are our first choice wingers. I think it is just that focal point up top that we need to get sorted, and it needs to be someone who can play the lone striker role if this is the way we're going to do it, because we don't have that. And as you say, it has to be someone that can score goals. And if Curtis Main isn't scoring goals, he's going to be relatively useless. You know, you can do all the hard work you want. You can win headers. You can, you know, get in about it with defenders. But if you are the one man on the park who we need to be scoring goals by and large to win games, you know, you need to be doing that. And he's just not doing that. But I do agree. I think that, you know, some of the responses from fans can be baffling at times. You know, not just the sharing of Connor Salmon's miss when he was practically on the byline. Still a poor miss. I think he should have done better, and I'm sure he would be the first person to acknowledge that. But by the same token, to having just beaten Hibs, witness guys like Jake Hasty and Aribi tear them to shreds, and then want to discuss Connor Salmon's miss, I think is just absolutely baffling. And I did notice earlier that there's a Twitter account now called Has Curtis Main Scored Yet? That just regularly posts up, no, he's not.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So, I mean, you know, and I mean, it's quite amusing, but by the same token, you're thinking, you know, really? You know, 6 points out of two games, things are going well, we're starting to see some good football. Yes, we all want Curtis Main to score, but are we really spending time focusing to that extent on these kind of things? So it'll be interesting to see what happens between now and the close of the window, if anything. You know, it almost feels as though Rodriguez Gorin is a little bit like a new signing that we've just snapped up in January, the way he's come into the team and did really well. But I think that's the one place for me that we kind of need to get sorted. I think between now and the end of the season, we could get by in terms of not having a left-back. I think elsewhere, we're kind of covered midfield, defence. Obviously, with Jake Hasty and Aribi arriving, we're now get more options in either wing. But for me, the striking position is a big, big issue. Danny Johnson is probably the best all-round striker in general of the three for me, because he can, you know, occasionally score a goal, which helps, but he's not a lone striker, and Curtis Main and Salmon are so far off it I think, in terms of ability and quality and the ability to kind of play that role for us effectively. So that's the big thing for me. If we can get someone in, you know, between now and January, I think, yeah, there will be more to come for this side, because what you want is Aribe and Hasty to be beating their man, getting the ball in the box, and you want someone who's going to know how to play that role, who's there to stick it in the net, and that, for me, isn't Curtis Main. But it'll be interesting to see, because obviously if we get to the January transfer window and it closes and we've not sorted that out, then we should get behind. If it's going to be Main that's leading the line, we should get behind them rather than, you know, spending ages talking about how long it's been since he last scored.
Yeah, it was a bogging comment to say that he does things that some people don't see. That sounded a lot more up my own arse than it was intended to be in the first place. But certainly, I struggle to fathom. I don't even think it's really that funny either, the Twitter account. This is one of our own players. For fuck's sake, get behind them. That just seems like there's a guy that is struggling for confidence. I refuse to believe that that doesn't come to your attention. I just think that, talk about kicking a guy when he's down. he's just played his part in two big wins, two wins that basically have guaranteed his safety. Cut him a wee bit of slack. I just can't fathom that. But different strokes for different folks, I guess. We now move on, and up next is Livingston on Saturday. Must have going on the three meetings already this season. A win, a loss, and a draw. They've all been fiercely contested fixtures. They've all been pretty uneasy on the eye. They've been a battle. Livingston, a team that remind me very much of ourselves last season. They do the basics very well. They've got height. They've got power. And they had undoubtedly had a great first half of the season. Since the turn, they seem to have went off the boil somewhat. They lost in the Scottish Cup to Hearts. They lost at St Johnstone midweek and then again to Rangers today. So they're certainly not in good form going into this one. We're at home on the back of three successive league wins. I would say it is a game that we should be looking to take all three from.
Yeah, at home, against a team that are, you know, run about us. I can't mind if they're sort of below or above Hibs now, the way the results went there at the weekend, today. But I watched their game today, and as you say, it's going to be another battle just like the other games. I don't think it'll be a pretty game, but yeah, I think we've got to go, you know, expecting to take 3 points. Expecting is a strong word, but you know, we've got to go in there looking for them at least. Obviously, that's what we'll do. You know, it's like that. That's a fucking stupid thing to say, to be honest with you. But I think anything other than 3 points would be a disappointment. They're a really strange team, I think, Livingston. They seem to be doing really well at home, but I think recently away from home they've been a bit buzzed, to be honest with you. But it's one of those things as well where we've had two great games in a trot there. I don't want to think we've completely turned a corner, but I would expect us to win. And if we don't, I just hope that there is that wee bit of entertainment from, you know, the guys in the wing, Davy Turnbull, Goran. And you know, if Curtis Main plays, hopefully Curtis Main can have a good game and grab a goal and maybe shut up some people who are giving him a bit of stick, as you were just discussing. But I'd like to think that we'd come, you know, 5 o'clock on Saturday, we'll be celebrating our fourth league win in a row.
And Jay, a player that will be vital, as he has been in the last two games, is David Turnbull, scoring the winning goal in both games that we've won in this week. There's a lot of talk about a new contract for Turnbull. There's a lot of hope amongst the supporters that he'll go and sign that new contract. He was, of course, linked with Southampton and various other clubs as we turned into 2019. Motherwell will be clearly desperate to hold on to a player that I think has now progressed to our biggest asset. You've got to hope he looks at players that have perhaps left their part too early and their career has then subsequently stalled. Turnbull I would say is one of the most gifted players I've seen it in quite some time at Fir Park. But I still think he's got learning to do. He's still going to go through spells where his form dips somewhat, and perhaps he might even find himself out the team for these spells. But a prolonged period of first team football would stand him in good stead for what seems at this point to be a fantastic career that's on the cards.
Yeah, I think it's insane, you know, just how quickly things have turned around in the last few days, really. I think we'd all kind of written off the chance of him staying. You know, I think it was well documented that we'd offered him, a good few new deals and had left it there, expecting him, you know, to perhaps move on in the summer. And instead, you know, the chat has turned around very quickly and all the noises seem to be positive. You very rarely would have a situation where the player himself and the manager would make comments publicly about how they fully expect a contract to be signed, unless that is the way it's definitely going to go. So that's, fantastic news, because I, at least, you know, personally, fully expected that he would leave in the summer. So to know that we're, you know, either going to have him next year or be in a very strong position if anybody wants to come in and offer money for him during the summer, that's, you know, where we want to be with regards to our young players. And I don't think you can underestimate even just the impact somebody like Jake Hasty, coming back on loan from Alloa, and somebody like Alan Campbell going back into the first team might have had on Turnbull's sort of desire and love of playing football, because those are guys who have, you know, played together for what, about 10 years, came all the way through the youth ranks together. I read comments from Turnbull, a couple of days ago discussing about how, you know, those three guys in particular had always dreamed and set sights of playing together for the first team. So, you know, I don't think you can underestimate that as well, you know, because Turnbull knows now that if he does sign on, he's got the chance to continue his career at Motherwell with these kind of guys that he's known, for half his life, if not more. So, you know, that's an exciting prospect, because as we've said many, many times, you know, we don't expect to win games and the criticism, well, obviously there's games you expect to win, but we don't expect to win trophies or to be flying high in the league. But we want to see young players coming through. You want to go to games excited to see these guys. The game on Saturday, again, I'm looking forward to now, because I want to see Jake Hasty, I want to see Alan Campbell, I want to see David Turnbull. I think most Motherwell fans would accept that's, you know, a part of going to the games. That's what gets you excited. You don't, yeah, it's great to see, you know, good players regardless of where, you know, where they started their career or who you've signed them from. But there is something extra special knowing that the club have produced those players over, you know, a decade or more. And I think it's fantastic that we now seem to be really starting to see the products of our youth academy, particularly when you have guys like James Scott and Barry Maguire, a lot of good chat about them as well. I know Maguire's obviously, starting to play for Queen of the South into before the summer. So it'll be interesting to see what he'll be like when he comes back. But, you know, I think it kind of feels a little bit like we're starting to see that kind of golden generation again, if you like, that we've not really, in my opinion, seen since the likes of Faddy, Pearson and Hamill. Yes, we've brought through the odd youth product, but I don't think there's ever been that kind of production line en masse that perhaps other clubs, you know, if you think about Dundee United with Armstrong, Mackay, Stephen, Gold, that Hib side that produced the like the Thompson, Whittaker, Fletcher, Riordan, you know, I think it's something to be positive about. You know, next season and beyond, perhaps we will be that side in the Scottish top flight that actually has a side brimming with fantastic young players.
Yeah, but it does, and I think that given how negative we were last week, we've got to give a good bit of praise to Stephen Robinson for managing to turn it around. I think this stemmed from his pre-match interview with Hibs, because we were so critical of that interview following the Ross County game. He gets in front of the camera and he was much more composed, relaxed, kind of a bit more, it was much less knee-jerk, so it was much more balanced, and it made such a difference. But he seemed to have kind of recovered from a difficult time following the county game, and accepted the mistakes he had made, was kind of determined to resolve those mistakes. And he's done it brilliantly, but by reintroducing the young guys into the squad, and they automatically become the heartbeat. They automatically have the fans on side. We're desperate to see young, hungry players succeed in our team. What a difference a week makes, because we're now looking forward to a game against Livingston, a game in the grand scheme of things that will mean absolutely nothing come the end of the season, but he's managed to get that buzz back about the place simply by the introduction of these young, talented players.
Yep, that's it. The football fan is very fickle, as we often hear and say, and you know that doesn't include, that doesn't exclude any of us. I'd say especially.
I'm not a fickle guy, but.
I was going to say, I think I'm the exact same. You know, as I say, this time last week I was, you know, fuck it, there's nothing to play for, what's the point? You know, if I'd done better today, I'd do it. You know, and then Jay's like, I'm driving to Dundee, you want to go? I ain't bother, let's go. You know, so it's...
What's even better about that was you weren't even at the Hibs game.
Exactly, I was working. That was also something... That was also something I didn't choose to not go to the Hibs game. I just couldn't get it off, to be fair, because I would have went to Hibs nae bother as well. But you know, as you say, the first opportunity for me was, do you want to go to Dundee? All right, fine, fair do, we'll go. But you know, as you say, that's the Stevie Robinson came out as you say, his post pre Hibs, and even then you could tell whether it was the club on a whole, because I think. You know, putting that interview out on that Saturday evening was probably a mistake. And I think if, you know, you asked Robinson, you asked the media guys, you asked the club, they'd probably be like, yeah, we should maybe have done that differently. But you could see that Robinson had recognised that, the club had probably recognised that, and, you know, he was shouldering quite a bit of the blame, saying obviously these things need to be changed, it will take time. And to be fair, you know, it's just fell into place immediately for us. And with even watching the Hibs game back, I watched it in Alba, the Dundee game again. You know, there's points where we do try and make a pass rather than simply just putting the heat down and putting the boot through it. And as Jay said earlier, you know, the long ball's not going to be extinct from our game. It's part and parcel of the game. It's going to be needed as well at times, you know, players just get it out there. You know, you've all heard the, you know, the phrase, just get rid of it. And that's exactly what will happen sometimes. But there's, before that, it was needless long balls when we probably did have time to maybe make a couple of passes. There was no one making space. There was no one looking for the ball. And I'd say two or three players switching it, the young boys. And again, I know I went on about my wee bit earlier, but Gorin for me was absolutely fantastic in against Dundee. Nothing flashy. You know, he didn't set up any of the goals. He wasn't, you know, running about there like Maradona or anything like that. It was just he wanted to play football and keep it very simple, and that's all we're looking for. And again, if we're going to have a lone striker, you know, you discussed in length there, none of the guys are really suited for it. You maybe need somebody like Kenny Miller. If you've got a lone striker like that, you're obviously going to put in the channels at time for them to chase, but you're going to need guys like Turnbull, Hasty, Gorin to feed them the ball as well. You know, as Jay says, big target man was probably the wrong choice of words. Somebody who can play a lone striker, you know, that involves getting the ball into their feet. So if you've got David Turnbull getting the ball, turning and putting it into somebody's feet, and then you've got Hasty and Aribi in the wings, or, you know, even Freer if he gets a gig, Cadden when he comes back, all making moves forward, that's what you want to see. And, you know, these are, as I say, wee tiny changes, and suddenly, you know, I think it's great being a Millwall fan again. You know, two wins and the bounce obviously don't do any damage either. And I can't even mind what your original question was, but that's the answer.
I'm not 100% sure what the question was. No, it was about the young, enthusiastic players, and certainly you did answer that just in a very, very roundabout way. Other news this week, Jay, the appointment of Maurice Ross as both reserve and under-18 manager. He'll obviously fill the roles of Stephen Craigan and Stephen McManus. certainly big shoes to fill there for Maurice Ross. A guy that had a short spell for Pat Dooney's playing career. I couldn't tell you very much about his coaching credentials. His interview, he certainly talks a good game. You just got to hope that he can continue the good work done by both Craggs and McManus, and hopefully in 2-3 years' time we're talking about more promising young players breaking through to the first team.
Yeah, I mean that's it. I mean, again, like yourself, I'm not clued up entirely on Maurice Ross's coaching career to this point. But I think very early on, when Steve McManus moved to Celtic, and we were obviously looking for a replacement for Stephen Craigan anyway, I think the two names instantly linked with it were Lee McCulloch and Maurice Ross. So, you know, I know McCulloch has went to Dundee United, but I'm not sure whether McCulloch would have been our first choice anyway, because Maurice Ross was certainly mentioned from the start. I think what's interesting is, you know, his title, you know, head of 18s to 21s. So it's not, you know, necessarily under-18s manager, under-21 reserve team manager. It's obviously a clear focus on development. I think that's something that we need to keep in mind. I noticed, you know, Stevie Craigan has a lot of goodwill with Motherwell fans, and rightfully so. He's sort of a modern-day legend, top man. Everybody, you know, who's a Motherwell fan loves Stevie Craigan. And I think there's a lot of emphasis put on the fact that Stevie Craigan has obviously done quite a good job. You know, we are seeing young players coming through, so that's evident. But I have noticed, you know, in response to the news of Mo Ross joining, I noticed a lot of Motherwell fans sort of saying, well, you know, you've got big shoes to fill, you know, hope you can carry on the great work that Stevie Craigan did. And, I just hope that Maurice Ross isn't going to be necessarily judged on the fact that Stevie Craigan actually, you know, sent out Motherwell teams and, you know, quite often won games by big margins. You know, obviously we won the Youth Cup. That for me isn't necessarily what Maurice Ross's role is about. It's, you know, as a Motherwell fan who perhaps doesn't go to under 18 games or reserve games, it might look as though the manager of the reserves, for example, is doing a good job because they're winning games, but that's not what it's about. You know, it's about trying to progress these players and develop these players. And so I just hope that there isn't, you know, going to be undue pressure put on Maurice Ross to get results because Stevie Craigan kind of did well at that, because that's not what it's about. You know, if in 3 or 4 years' time, you know, that's when Maurice Ross, you know, how good a job he's done, we'll start to see the fruits of that, because that's when guys that Maurice Ross is going to be coaching will start to come through into the first team. So, you know, it's one of those ones, it's difficult to really make a judgment on the appointment. I would actually argue that nowadays, because of social media and, you know, the communications from clubs, it's something that we're obviously far more aware of now. I think, you know, certainly when I was younger, I couldn't really tell you, you know, about who the youth coach was at Motherwell and things like that. I think just because there's far more focus on the ins and outs from top to bottom at the club, it becomes a far bigger deal. But I just hope that, you know, I know it's already been confirmed by Stephen Robinson that our reserve team from next season onwards is going to be, you know, very, very young. I noticed he mentioned that. And I think it was in the pre-match comments before Dundee. So Maurice Ross is going to be looking to develop a very young reserve team. And I just hope that, you know, plenty of Motherwell fans keep that in mind rather than, you know, assuming it's the wrong appointment because he doesn't replicate the results that perhaps Stevie Craigan got.
And Buster, it's quite clearly streamlined right down the age groups. Guys like Stevie Hamill, the head of the academy, David Clarkson, doing tremendous work and doing a great deal of hard work preparing these young guys for the point where they do progress into the first team, because it is a pathway. There's got to be a clear pathway. And for clubs like us, we can't go out and spend big bucks in recruiting players. The academy is very much the bread and butter, isn't it? You've got to be developing your own players and bringing them through into your first team.
Yeah, definitely. You know, as you say, we've obviously had a good few players on the fringes, or more recently, you know, getting into the first team in the last year or so, year or two, sorry, maybe even three, depending on when these guys made their first team debuts. But it's you know, it's a part of the, it's a side of the club that I don't really see much of. You know, I don't have the chance to go to any of the games. Not any of the games is a lie, you know, sorry. It's just that I don't make the effort to go when they did play in the, you know, the Betfred Cup or whatever it was called. Sorry, you know, unfortunately I'd made plans. But I don't know much about the setup. Like Jay, as you say, Morris Ross's title is certainly an intriguing one. You know, if he is going to be in charge of those two sets of teams, set of those teams there, he's going to be a very busy man, to be fair. But, you know, I don't know much about Morris Ross either, other than I think he managed Norway and the Faroe Islands. But, you know, fair play to him. You know, good luck to him as well, because, you know, he's going to be managing the, you know, guys who'll line up in the Motherwell jersey. And it's, you know, it's something we'll want him to do well in.
Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for this week. Certainly a much more pleasant podcast to record, and possibly only half the people that listened last week will listen this week, because in fact, when we're winning, we don't have very much to moan about, and it makes things a wee bit more difficult. But we've managed, and that is about 50-odd minutes of Motherwell-related chat. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
No bother, thanks.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you and goodbye. Sky, please tell us why you had to hide.